Welcome to this edition of Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson.
You see, when we're serving Christ, we're doing something that takes supernatural power. I might be the smartest guy, the most energetic guy, the most creative person. I might have all kinds of gifts and abilities, but that does not qualify me even remotely to serve God, because serving God takes a totally different kind of a power. It's not human power. It's divine power.
Today on Back to Basics, Pastor Brian continues his study in the Gospel of John. Join us as Pastor Brian concludes his teaching on John chapter 14, verses 12 through 31, in a message titled, Love and Obedience. Now, here's Pastor Brian.
I know people who are sinning, people who are backslidden, people who are blatantly disobeying the clear statements of God's word, and they'll say, but you know, I love the Lord. No, you don't. Don't take my word for it. Listen to the words of Jesus. He says it. He who has my words and keeps them, it is he who loves me. But look at also the promise, a beautiful promise. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him, and I will reveal myself to him. What a wonderful promise, that the Lord will reveal himself to those who love him. He goes on, John goes on, and he says that Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words. And the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. Look at that promise. We will come to him. Jesus said, I will reveal myself to him. And then he said, my Father and I both, we will come to him and we will make our home. That's what being a Christian is. It's the life of God in the soul of man. You have become the home of the Lord. As Paul says in the Epistle to the Ephesians, Christ dwelling in our hearts through faith. And that word that Paul uses there, dwelling, means literally to set up residence, to set up residence. Now, of course, this is communicated to us many different ways in Scripture. Paul tells us in his letters to the Corinthians, he tells us that we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. We're the temple of God. The Spirit of God lives in us. And that's what Jesus is saying here. For those who love him, for those who keep his word, he and the Father will come and make their residence within our lives. That's what's happened here. We've become the home of God. Remember what the prophet said, the Lord does not dwell in temples made with hands. Heaven is his throne, earth is his footstool. And that temple that was built in Jerusalem and that tabernacle that preceded it, those were places where God would temporarily reside, but his longing was to reside within the heart of man. And that's what's happened. And that's what occurs when a person receives Christ. Remember, Jesus said back in verse 17, he said, the Spirit is with you and he shall be in you. You see, that's what he's referring to here, the indwelling of the Spirit, and through the indwelling of the Spirit, the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, the presence of the Father, right here within our lives. Do we realize we are the temple of the Holy Spirit? Paul says you need to realize that. Because he says no one would want to take Christ and join him to a harlot. No one, at least no thinking person, would want to take Jesus and drag him off into some sinful environment, into some sinful activity or behavior. But Paul says when we go out as believers and sin, that's exactly what we're doing. We're dragging Jesus along with us into that stuff. Maybe it's because we haven't realized that he is with us. He is with us. He's in our hearts by faith. Now, these things I have spoken to you while being present with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. Now, again, this promise, I think, has a twofold application. The first is to these men that he's talking to. You know, sometimes the question is asked, well, how did these guys remember all of this stuff to write it down? Well, this is how they remembered. The Spirit came to them, taught them all things, and brought to their remembrance all the things that Jesus said to them. So when they sat down and penned these Gospels, it was the Holy Spirit who was bringing them the remembrance of the events. And as they sat down and wrote out these epistles and the different prophecies and things, it was the Holy Spirit who was teaching them those things. The Holy Spirit is the great teacher. He taught them all of the truth and all that was implied in the death and the resurrection of Jesus. And they pass that on to us in their epistles. And as we meditate on these things, as we study them, it's the Holy Spirit who teaches us these things as well. Whenever you're learning anything about the Lord, about the things of the Spirit, it's the Holy Spirit who's teaching you. If you're learning anything, if you're benefiting from what I'm saying to you tonight or at any other time that you're here, it's the Holy Spirit who's bringing that to you. We are utterly dependent on the Spirit. I'm dependent on the Spirit to give me the ability to communicate with you, and you're dependent upon the Spirit to give you the ability to receive it and to assimilate it and to bring it into a reality in your life. So the Holy Spirit is at work. You know, sometimes people say, oh, you know, over at Calvary Chapel, you know, they're not into the Holy Spirit over there. Oh, yes, we are. We are into the Holy Spirit, and he is in us. And we wouldn't want to even think about doing anything apart from that understanding, that acknowledgement, and that dependency. So the Holy Spirit, he teaches us all things. He brings to our remembrance. And haven't you had this experience where you're talking to somebody and all of a sudden you're telling them things and you're thinking to yourself, I didn't know I knew that. That's amazing. That is so good. What's happening there? That's the Holy Spirit. He's bringing to your remembrance. And I have had that many times. I have had at times, honestly, I've had times when I've been teaching that I would actually learn something in the course of teaching it and be teaching it as the Lord is teaching me it immediately. Amazing. Many times I've looked at a passage and just thought, oh, what is that really saying? I remember one time very clearly, I was spent the whole day just, you know, laboring over this text and really could not get a grip on it. And every commentator conveniently skipped over the passage for obvious reasons. Nobody knows what it says, evidently. But I remember teaching and all of a sudden I knew. It was illuminated. I knew what it meant. And I was able to stand there and communicate what it meant. I don't even remember what it was now, but I remember back in that time, it was great. So Jesus went on and said, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You have heard me say to you, I am going away and coming back to you. If you loved me, you would rejoice because I said, I am going away to the Father. For my Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it comes, that when it does come to pass, you may believe. I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming, and he has nothing in me. But that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, so I do. Arise, and let us go from here. Notice what Jesus said there? That the world may know that I love the Father, as he gave me commandment, so I do. How is the world going to know you love the Lord? How is anybody going to know you love the Lord? They're going to know that we love the Lord because we keep his commandments, because we do what he said. And that, it seems so simple and so clear and so obvious. And there shouldn't be anybody who is in confusion about that. And you might say, oh, but I'm struggling. I'm trying so hard, but I just... Here's the thing. God doesn't only tell us to keep his commandments, he gives us the power to do it. And we've got to lean on him. We've got to trust him. We've got to look to him. We've got to sometimes just call upon him and say, Lord, give me that grace. And know this, by faith, know that he will. He tells us to obey him, and he will give us power to obey him. And any disobedience, any willful disobedience, any ongoing disobedience is not because God doesn't have power to deliver us. It's because we have not submitted our wills to him. And that's what we've got to do. We've got to submit our wills to him. Now, the last thing I want to touch on, I want to go back to verse 17 for a moment. And looking here at the promise that Jesus gave concerning the Spirit. He dwells with you. Now, the Spirit of God had been with them. They were with the Lord. You remember, Jesus had sent them out, and they had gone out in bands of two, and they had ministered, and they had cast out demons, and they had healed the sick, and they had raised the dead. They had done all of these things. How could they do that? The Spirit was with them. But Jesus says, he will be in you, future tense. The Spirit was not yet indwelling them. The Spirit was with them, alongside of them. Now, in a sense, we've all had that experience where the Spirit was with us, not like the apostles did, but in the sense that the Spirit was with us, convicting us of our sin. Before I came to Christ, the Spirit came alongside of me and began to convict me of my sin. The Spirit came alongside of me and began to prod me and began to let me know that I was a sinner and that I needed a Savior, and began to reveal to me that Jesus was the answer. When I responded to that, and when you responded to that, and in faith, you ask Jesus to forgive your sin, the Holy Spirit then came and began to dwell in you. That's what happened. You see, the new birth is the Spirit of God living in the soul of man. That's what causes the new birth. It's when Jesus said you must be born again, remember he said you must be born of water and the Spirit. I think he was literally saying you must be born of the Word and the Spirit. But just drop the first one for a second. He definitely said you must be born of the Spirit. And what he's talking about there is what Jesus is telling us about, that the Spirit would come and take up residence in us. Every person who is a true believer in Jesus Christ is indwelt by the Holy Spirit. Any person who is not indwelt by the Holy Spirit is not a Christian in the biblical sense of the term. You see, Paul would say in Romans chapter 8, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, that person does not belong to Christ. Now, in the early days of the church, that was common knowledge. Everybody understood that. We are 2,000 years down the road of history, and as you know, and as maybe you even experienced, there are millions of people in churches calling themselves Christians who are not Christians at all because they've never been born of the Spirit. And in some cases, the Spirit is even with them because they've hardened their heart and resisted even the conviction of the Spirit, so there's not even any conviction going on. But you see, a Christian is a person who is indwelt by the Holy Spirit, and that only happens by personally receiving Christ. It doesn't happen through a baptism. It doesn't happen through any other religious kind of experience. It's not something that any pastor or priest or whoever else can do for anybody. It's a personal transaction that happens between the individual and God when that individual puts their faith and their trust in Jesus Christ. And when a person acknowledges that they are a sinner and that Jesus is the Savior and says, "Lord, forgive my sins," the Holy Spirit takes up residence in that person. From that moment, the Spirit of God comes and indwells them. But there is one further experience of the Holy Spirit that's not talked about here, but it was referred to back in chapter 7 when Jesus said that those who believed in him, out of their innermost being, torrents of living water would proceed. John said, this he spoke concerning the Holy Spirit who would be given, but it not yet been given because Jesus was not yet glorified. And then as we move forward, Jesus says to his followers, he says, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. So there's the three prepositions. He's with you, he's in you, but then he comes upon you. Now, there's debate amongst Christians regarding a distinction between being within you and coming upon you. But I don't think the debate is valid because, to me, it's clear in Scripture that both things are referred to. Both things are taught. These men, after Jesus rises from the dead, we will read it in the 20th chapter of this gospel. These men are breathed on by Jesus, and it's at that moment that the Spirit takes up residence in them. Jesus breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. Now, he had already told them the Spirit was with them, so he couldn't be referring to receiving the Spirit in the sense of him being with you, because now he's telling them the Spirit is with you. But he breathes on them and he says, receive the Holy Spirit. And this is where this indwelling happens. And then to those very men who are indwelt by the Spirit, he says, wait in Jerusalem till you're endued with power, for the Holy Spirit shall come upon you. You see, there's a distinction. There's a different experience. The Holy Spirit taking up residence in us brings us to life spiritually. We're born again. Our spirit is made alive. What is the purpose of the Spirit coming upon us? And what is the distinction? The distinction is the difference between a cup being full and the cup overflowing. The purpose, one, is to give us spiritual life. The other is to give us spiritual power for service to God. You see, that's what the overflow of the Spirit is about, or the baptism of the Spirit, or the filling of the Spirit. It's about an empowering to serve God. You see, when we're serving Christ, we're doing something that takes supernatural power. I might be the smartest guy, the most energetic guy, the most creative person. I might have all kinds of gifts and abilities, and I might be able to, you know, start a company from scratch and build it into a great corporate empire. I might be able to do all those kinds of things, but that does not qualify me even remotely to serve God, because serving God takes a totally different kind of a power. It's not human power. It's divine power. It's the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's what the Lord told us that we needed to serve Him and to build His kingdom. It would have to be done through the Spirit of God coming upon our lives. And when the Spirit of God comes upon us, it gives us that power in our service to God and imparts to us as well those giftings through which we will serve the Lord. Now, it's possible to receive the indwelling and the empowering of the Spirit almost simultaneously. I think there is an interval between the two, but it could be ever so brief, a few seconds maybe in some cases. But it's also possible to receive the Spirit in the sense of Him indwelling you, but have a longer period of time before really experiencing the empowering. In some people's lives, they don't even realize that it's a possibility. And then they discover it, they find out about it, they hear about it, and something happens in their lives that they realize, wow, there's a whole new dimension, there's a whole new power, there's a whole thing that I didn't realize was here. I was serving God, but I look back and I realize I was serving Him out of my own energy. I was serving Him with my own strength and with my own wisdom, and everything I was doing for Him, I was doing it through my own efforts. And then they come to a place of realizing, wow, there's an empowering. There's something supernatural that takes me beyond anything I could ever do in my own strength. That's what we're talking about. And that experience is something that the Lord wants all of us to have. So, how do we get it? We ask for it. We ask the Lord. If you look at your life tonight and you, in any way, you just look and say, you know, I don't really sense that I have that power of God in my life. Then you ask Him for it. And I think it's wise to just keep asking Him for it. And I think in some sense there is a receiving, but there's an ongoing receiving as well. Some people look at the baptism of the Spirit as sort of a one-time event. They'll say, yeah, I was baptized in the Spirit back in 77. I think biblically speaking, we see that the baptism of the Spirit is something that is recurring. It happens over and over again throughout the life of a believer. And if I get to a point where I'm sensing an emptiness, I'm sensing a dryness, I'm sensing a powerlessness, I don't seem to have that get up and go in the Spirit, then I need a refilling. I need to say, Lord, fill me up again. Here I am. Maybe sin has come in. Grieve the Spirit, quench the Spirit. Maybe you realize that, man, everything just came to a halt in my life spiritually. It's because you let things in your life that God didn't want in. You started dabbling in things that were unpleasing to Him, and it grieved Him, and that power was then withdrawn. And so in some cases, there needs to be a repentance, a turning away from, a getting back to where you were before so you can experience that.
Let's take a quick break and listen to what Pastor Brian and his wife Cheryl are saying about this month's resource on Back to Basics.
Hey, Brian, what's that book you're reading?
Cheryl, this book is called Doctrine for Difficult Days, and it's by J. Vernon McGee.
I love J. Vernon McGee.
Yes.
He's got that down-home style that just makes you feel like you're his beloved friend.
Yep. A down-home style, but J. Vernon McGee was
brilliant
mm-hmm. and he was quite a Bible scholar himself.
Yes,
and
he
so
was.
He's written this book, Important Theology Made Simple. It's easy to read and understand.
So you'd pretty much recommend this to any believer.
Yeah, I do. I love reading books on doctrine, but I wouldn't recommend all of them because, you know, some of them mm-hmm. are a little too complex and too much theological jargon. You're not going to get that with J. Vernon McGee. It's going to be just straightforward.
Thanks, Pastor Brian and Cheryl, for sharing about this month's resource. You can order the book, Doctrine for Difficult Days, Important Theology Made Simple by J. Vernon McGee by going to our website, backtobasicsradio.com. Scroll down until you see the photo of it, and then click on the Donate button. When you give a gift to Back to Basics, we'll send you this book by J. Vernon McGee that addresses biblical teaching on major doctrines in Scripture. It's our way of saying thank you for your generous support of this ministry. We'd also like to remind you that all of our other resources are waiting for you at backtobasicsradio.com or by calling our request line at 1-800-733-6443. That's 1-800-733-6443. Our desire is to encourage you in your daily walk with God. We'll continue tomorrow with more valuable insights from Pastor Brian as we study together in the Gospel of John. Back to Basics is the preaching and teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California.